2, see you is the end and the beginning. You carry me and you go before. You are the journey and the journey's end. Amen.
Amen.
I must confess that I've had a difficult time this week preparing for the sermon. For obvious reasons, this is my last Sunday, didn't quite know what to say. But the other one is even more of a confession, because pondering the scripture in preparation for my sermon this week, as I read the first reading from Exodus, I couldn't get the image of Yul Brynner out of my head. Sitting there on his throne with his bare chest and his gold stuff, and it's hard to shake. And also, Charlton Heston with his big staff parting the water. So I tried to get that image out of my head, and you're welcome, because I've now transferred it to yours. And this day is a day about faith. Faith that the Israelites will live. Faith that the promise of Abraham will still be received and accepted and passed on and preserved, even through slavery, even through oppression. And that this man named Moses, who is a renegade, this man will lead the people of the nation of Israel out of the bondage of slavery, out of the house of Egypt, on dry land and into the promised land. It is the faith of generations going back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, through Joseph and through the generations in slavery, waiting for the person to bring them home. The other part of the faith is the gospel that we hear today about the confession of St. Peter. Now, as you most of you know, I grew up Roman Catholic, so that means that Peter is the first pope, Bishop of Rome, head of the church, vicar of Christ, and kind of reigns over this gigantic empire that we call the Roman Catholic Church. There's a couple of problems with this. First, I'll go with the Bible, because that's always a good place to start. God, by definition, cannot be inconsistent. God, by definition, is always consistent, cannot deviate, and cannot be interpreted one way or another other than what is actually there. So here's the problem. Jesus saying, Simon, Bar-Jonah, you are the rock and the foundation of the church. On you, this church will be built. High praise indeed. A couple of chapters later, Peter gets called Satan. A little inconsistent. And then, of course, we have Maundy Thursday night and Good Friday morning, in which Peter says, I don't know him. Never saw him before. Completely divorcing myself from his existence. How can Simon Bar-Jonah hold the keys of the kingdom and still be called by the Savior Satan and to deny his very existence? Here's the problem, and it's a problem that we all have. It is our human failing that we attach certain things to people, when that's certainly not the case. Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Your faith has made you the rock on which I will build my church. Not you. It's never about you. It's about the faith that you have. And that faith is the rock. That faith are the keys to the kingdom. My last sermon, so I'm going to tell you a joke. Hope you laugh. three clergy die on the same day. And a Roman Catholic, a Baptist, and an Episcopal clergy show up at the pearly gates. And they show up, and instead of St. Peter, Jesus is there. And he goes, yeah, Peter's on vacation, so I'm doing intake today. And so he says to the Roman Catholic, he says, okay, just one question to get into heaven. Who do you say that I am? And the Roman Catholic priest says, well, the church teaches that. He goes, no. I want to know who you say that I am. He goes, well, I've never really thought about it. He goes, okay, purgatory is down the hall. And I'll see you in 1,000 years, and we can have this conversation again. Baptist comes up, and he says, okay, same question. Who am I? Baptist says, well, the Bible teaches. And he goes, no. I want to know who you say that I am. Baptist says, I've never really thought about it. And he goes, okay, see where the Roman Catholic went? You can follow him. By this time, the Episcopal priest, his face is shining, his smile is huge, and he walks up confidently to our Savior, and Jesus says, okay, same question, who am I? The Episcopal clergy says, you are the Savior of the world. You have come to redeem me from my sins. You died so that the world can live. You are my Savior and my God. On the other hand, it speaks to our faith as Protestants that we do not attach certain heavenly things to human beings. That is the fundamental flaw of idolatry. The fundamental flaw of idolatry means that certain people or things or objects are actually holy, that have an ability to do things extraordinary and out of nature. The Anglican Church teaches against that. You cannot put onto one person heavenly powers or virtues because they are a human being. They've fallen, sinful, and only through the grace of God, redeemable. Here's the good news. The good news is, it's Peter's faith that made him the rock on which Jesus was to build his church. It's Peter's understanding in a flash, revealed to him by the grace of God, who Jesus actually is. And that faith has made Peter the rock. The other part of the good news is that we also are the rock. It can't be only conferred on Peter. That's not right. It's not consistent. If we open the eyes of our faith, if we have the strength and courage to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and to live a life that proves that, that illustrates that, that has in every moment that we live evidence that what we believe and say is true, we are the rock of faith that God has placed on this place to make his kingdom come true. Most of us would rather shuffle it off the pier. Well, you know, he's the one, or the bishop, or the clergy. Well, he's the resident holy person. She's the resident holy person. I don't have anything to do with this. When in fact, all of us do. We are all called to be the rocks of faith. We are all called to open our hearts and minds and souls into the reality of how we have come into existence, that our faith will make us those true rocks on which to build a strong church. And I don't mean, you know, 200 people in the pews. I don't mean a balanced budget. Sorry, Dale. I don't mean those kinds of earthly things. I mean the things that God actually cares about. That we do and say those things that we profess, and that we live lives worthy of that confession. Let us, and I'm making up a word, let us claim our rockfulness. We are all rocks of the church. We are all the foundation on which God is going to build the kingdom. Let us hear that. Let us live that. And let us be the foundation of the church that God has called us to be. Not because we're holy, not because we're good, not because we're righteous, but because we have faith. And because we have eyes to see and ears to hear and a soul that is willing to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That rock and that faith will transform the world. Let's start today. Amen.